This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
All right, the clip of the day today. We got two clips for you. We're all talking about the fight that broke out at training camp. Apparently, Jalen Waddle just caught a 60-yard touchdown pass from Bo Nix. Neat. What am I supposed to say? It's cool.
It's going to happen all year, so we're used to it.
We're not used to it. He's a new player, but yeah, it's cool.
Future used.
It's cool.
To it.
I'm not like over the moon. I'm not under the moon on it. It's just cool. I'm glad it happened. Here's Bo Nix talking about what went down yesterday within the Broncos scuffle.
Love it. It's football. It's getting me ready for the games coming up, and it's a physical practice out there played by physical people. So it got intense, and we were just really enjoying it. And sometimes in the dog days of summer, practice gets long, and the intensity runs high.
All right, there's Bo. Saying he loves it. Cool. Happy. Happy with that, like the fact that he's not pissed off anymore. They got over it quickly. Sean Payton kind of went another route, talking about fighting in general and how they're going to be monitoring that during the season. They made a change to how they're reviewing fights now. So here's Sean Payton.
But we covered last night what's new. From an officiating standpoint, this is our first season where they can go to replay in New York and remove a player. So with that being the case, you know, it's going to be hard to be the guy that gets the first jab. You know, they're going to be able to go to replay and get it right. And so we discussed that. We had examples of shoving, and then, you know, the officials just getting bumped, you're ejected. There's, you know, all of it we kind of covered.
I thought that was interesting. So they're going to, you know, we always say it in football, right? It's never the first guy that gets in trouble. It's the guy that retaliates. Well, that's what they're fixing now. So if they flag somebody for retaliation, they're going to still go back and review it to see if there was a hit or something occurred before that. This is a great thing. So if they see somebody throw a punch, they're going to throw a flag on him. But I believe now it's automatically reviewed. So then they're going to go and say, okay, what happened before he threw that punch? So then they would determine whether or not somebody was going after that player first,
they
which is a good
thing.
They
needed to do this for years because you always get that clip and
yeah,
the most egregious
one. We always
one.
Say it. You know, it's always the guy that gets – it's always the second. It's always a retaliation. Sean didn't sound – he was asked about the fight, and he kind of took it that direction, Michael. He kind of went into, hey, we got to be careful because that's going to be a big-time penalty. I'm not one of those guys that thinks if you get into one fight, that's the kind of thing that carries over into the season. I don't believe that. I think if it's an everyday occurrence, though, if we're hearing reports of, like, multiple fights amongst the team, then you start to worry. If maybe your guys are just a little too amped up and you got to start calming them down. But this seems like a rare occurrence. And I think most of Broncos country kind of agrees that it's one of those things that's kind of a good thing.
Yeah, nationally, people are going to go, are the Broncos in trouble? But Bo Nix comes out and says, I love it. I love the fights. That's a leadership thing to say, and that's a locker room uniting thing to say.
Well,
if he had come out and said, this is not good.
You're not supposed to touch the quarterback. You don't touch the quarterback.
Sometimes they deserve
especially
it.
Bo, though, right? Is that the that's kind of the one thing that I'm kind of a little miffed about, if I am, is you got a guy who we very much, a very much talked about ankle. If he gets hurt in something, and maybe it was small, whatever, but if he gets hurt in something like that, Michael, whoo, that would be tough to live down. So you're supposed to be careful with the quarterback anyway. But clearly Malcolm Roach. Now, the Nick Benito thing was Bo pulling Nick Benito off of a pile.
He's protecting his dude.
He's protecting his dude. He's already fired up. But the play before, I mean, after it was before the interception, the defensive line just collapsed the pocket. They ran into Bo, who got knocked to the ground. He got up yelling, and then he saw Malcolm Roach celebrating. So that apparently pissed him off. So he threw the football at Malcolm Roach. And then that's kind of, I think it kind of simmered after that. And then you had, well, then you had the interception. Alex Singleton got a pick, ran down on the other side of the field. Then you got another pile up. Throckmorton ended up at the bottom of the pile. His face is all bloodied. Benito ran to the pile. He jumped right on top of Mike McGlinchey. And that's when Bo ran in to pull Nick Benito off the pile.
If he had pulled him off the pile, like, if it was just, like, some random guy, like, down there and he jumped on top of him, or if he jumped on top of, like, everybody, you don't pull him off. But if this is a guy that you're supposed to be real close to, you do that.
Yeah, but it is a little weird that, like, Benito just jumped on top of Mike McGlinchey. But again, unless I hear something like that, and I'll get Sean Keeler's take on it. You know, what was the vibe like after practice, after that happened? Bo didn't seem pissed off at all. He seemed like, hey, this is just part of it. It's part of the game. We're going to get fired up. We're in the dog days of summer. We're playing against each other every day. We're getting tired of that. This is stuff you have to clean up before. You don't want a ton of this in the season. But getting it out of the way in training camp and in late August. Yeah,
we always hear this.
Yeah, it's fine.
Now, there's always fights. Like, there's always fights in between
Benito
your guys
and
the priest.
If Benito and McGlinchey are going at it again today and it leads to something, then I'll think it's worth being concerned about. But no. It's a fired up team. I do think and this is going to be the big thing with this offense, is how does Bo Nix respond? How does he respond to the ankle thing? How does he follow up his first 2 years, which have both been great? They've both been great. And I'm telling you, if the Bo Nix fans out there that believe he's going to be, he's going to be a tier one quarterback, if he is, then I think the sky is absolutely the limit. I think their defense is supreme. I think if they commit to the running game, they're going to have good backs, and I'm excited about Jonah Coleman. I think he's an impact this year. The addition of Jaylen Waddle opens everything up for Denver. If Bo is that guy, that I think he's fine. I've said, like, I feel like he's a Jake Plummer. You can get by with a Jake Plummer, Mike. You can win a lot of games. You can go to the playoffs. You might even win the big one with a Jake Plummer. I thought they were in 2005. I thought the Broncos might win a Super Bowl that year. But a lot of people believe that he's above that. He's in that tier one guaranteed franchise quarterback. You're never looking. And we'll see. Maybe the truth's somewhere in between. But if he really is that guy, I don't know who beats this team. They have that good of a defense, and if you give them a superstar quarterback, then they're ridiculous. 14 minutes after the hour. Keeling Me Softly with the Denver Post, Sean Keeler, coming up next. So keep it here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Michael, any questions for Sean? Anything on your mind about this fight?
No.
No?
No questions.
Okay, well, I'll have all the questions, and I'll carry us again. I'll carry the show again.
I'll ask him what the meaning of life is.
100% carrying the show. We'll be right back.
Front Range Spare Change returns for the 2026 football season. Find podcasts on 1310KFK.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310KFKA.
Some call him genius, legend, ladies' man, the best to ever observe the game. We want to keep him humble, so we call him Sean. This is Keeling Me Softly with Denver Post columnist Sean Keeler.
It's the only segment in radio that has a name like that. And so, obviously, it has to be because we have a very unique guest, Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. Sean, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. You know, I've seen wondrous things since I've lived in the Front Range. It's God's gift to humanity, Colorado. But let me tell you what, I've seen a bear. Well, I missed the bear because of you, but now also because of you, I'm pulling away from Cubs Sox Game 3, White Sox fan talking, and even more remarkable than all the moose and nature and elk in Estes Park is I watched Jose Urquidy strike out three Cubs at Wrigley Field, throwing one pitch faster than 90 miles an hour, including MVP. I just watched that happen. No one in Colorado but me is watching this game right now, and I'm just telling you, I watched it happen, and it was amazing.
What's the score right now, Sean?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
And the Cubs will win by one run, because they do, but that's fine.
Yeah, wasn't that the case last night?
It was, and the night before that, it was two runs. But it was,
We're pulling you away from this game, man. I feel like
you're
pulling
me away from Sox Cubs. That's how much I love you.
Well, and that's what we appreciate. That's why we love this segment. I want to talk about fights with you, Sean. I am not in the good graces with Buffs fans today.
What do you do now?
Well, I tweeted out, I think the Buffs are screwed. I don't know. I just think they're screwed, Sean. I don't think I...
Well, okay, define screwed to me.
Okay, well...
Okay, FCC... No, at FCC, I was saying this. Define screwed to me.
Well, okay. Let me... I saw a Troy Rank's post. He said a deputy made an attempt to serve CU Buffs coach Deion Sanders last week in relation to Sunshine's bankruptcy. Yeah, yeah. All that stuff, subpoenaed, all that. I just... That kind of stuff is what I look at, and I just think it's added up over... And you're involved in this too, Sean. I mean, I've talked about your story, your situation... All these things have just added up where I'm like, I don't know how serious this guy is. I just and I finally hit a it's finally hit a point to me. I just think it's going to be a rough season. And if it is, as you've told us, we're not going anywhere. Like the Buffs probably can't move on from him. So I feel like they're screwed at this point.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's fine. No, let me counter that. Well, you're not wrong in that. Yeah, they got some. When you hire Deion, you bring the circus. Sorry, I've said it, and good or bad, again, as I've also said, there's good and there is less good. There are all things. Everything about Deion is true, whatever side of the fence you want to be on with him. So, one. Two, it's a distraction, and a case on the 31st and a potential appearance on a game week, which I'm not sure is going to happen, that's in what is kind of a must-win game, or at least a must-show-up kind of game. Yeah, it's not ideal. Counter-argument, now hear me out, they now have coordinators who are, at least on the offensive side, so much better than last year that, unlike a year ago at this time, keep in mind, I know we wanted to get the Broncos here, but with the Buffs, a lot of the blame from the Deion VRs and the North Korea wall that they formed, and the smack wall of friendship, Romy, the rest is a lot of this happened, because Shermer sucks. Yeah, that we all knew that. And because of the cancer, and because he basically took a spring and summer where he wasn't coaching football in June, July, summer, May. Understandable. It's a human issue. It's a human problem. He's beating the cancer. Great. But clearly, a lot of weight was not being held. A lot of the rope was not being picked up by his staff. including our man Robert now with the Bengals a year ago. I would contend that they've upgraded to some degree in that department, and I could be proven wrong. And this is where the Brandon Marion effect may be felt, and that, let's be real, a lot of this Deion is designating to somebody, right? Let's just be real about this. And I would contend that at least this year, it looks like they're being designated to a lot better people than they were at this time a year ago. So there's my counter.
And look at you.
Screwed.
Yes.
No, I'm not saying they couldn't go badly, and I'm not saying this wouldn't be a 4-8 football team. It might. I mean, they're all scenarios of CUR short of nothing higher than maybe 8 wins. Anything from 8 wins on down is absolutely on the table. Like, you have to just put everything there. It's not ideal, but I would contend they have better backup in terms of lieutenants and captains in that leadership room than a year ago with some of the staff that they let go. And I know for a fact they were told that some of the lieutenants were not acceptable for this very reason, because a year ago they were playing catch-up. And by God, did it start showing. And they're not doing that as much this year. So I don't know how big, respect to Troy, respect to other people who pointed that out, it is kind of a show, literally, as we've talked about. But I guess maybe that's me being on the Brandon Marion bandwagon and say, God, that was a good hire.
Yeah.
And maybe this takes care of this. Does that make sense?
He is the reason I am very interested to see what they do offensively.
Oh, yeah. If they lose 30-10, and they won't. The whole point of Brandon Marion is they got to score 30 points a game, right? You've seen the stat. It's like 12-3 or 13-3 when they do. 3-18 when they don't. I think that's right. I mean, that's stark, like really simple. Like, they got to be blow up explosive, be that kind of team. And if he is that, they'll be interesting. And if he's not, they're going to go 3-9, and then they are screwed, because now you've got a $10 million football coach who's, to your point, 6-18 as a worst case scenario. And then you got a real problem, because that, I don't see that happening, because if it did, the noise would be far beyond my megaphone, and I think the embarrassment would be such that it could get really, really ugly. But we will see.
Yeah, and we will. I'll be happy to be the first guy, you know, and say, sure. Hey, yeah, I was wrong. They weren't screwed. They turned it around, and the hiring of Brandon Marion was huge for this team. And there's a part of me that kind of believes that, but the negative part of my brain is telling me, Sean, that this team is going to go south. And then when you do, it's going to be, well, we have no choice. We have no choice but to keep going with this. In most coaches' situations, Sean, if you say, okay, first year, you win 4 games. It was better before the Carl Durrell era, but still 4 wins. Second year, really good. You win 9.
Yep.
Last year, obviously atrocious. Yep. If you go year 4 bad again, that's most coaches' jobs, right?
Yeah, it would be. Most.
Depending on your expectations and such, I suppose.
Expectations, your money, your contract, your war chest, and the celebrity / political value of the guy in the seat. I'd say if you, again, let's put the worst case. If you were, say, 4-8, 3-9, that guy would probably be gone. Well, this would be simple. If it was Carl Durrell.
Oh, yeah, he'd be gone.
The guy president, absolutely gone. But Carl Durrell is not Deion Sanders. And the whole point of hiring Deion Sanders was that he was not Carl Durrell. And that is simply from a fame, politics, all the Coach Prime effect stuff. So they have to ask a hard question. Somebody, I just kind of have to laugh that Rick George punted on this. I'm really, really curious, as history looks in 20 to 35, 50 years, if we all make it that long. I won't make it that long, but the rest of us like you do. How CU history looks at Rick George. With this hire specifically, and then the fact that he's there, but somebody else is going to have to make a harder decision that there's no way that he could have. Because we talked about this on and off air some last year, right? Like, when he announced he was retiring, we went, oh boy, there goes Deion. It was kind of like when Shalomi, his daughter, left school. We all went, oh boy, there he goes. And trying to find the indicators. It's not great. And if it goes bad, that's not going to look great on Rick's legacy, because this has been very expensive. And Rick George has basically turned over his athletic department before he left to SMAC and to an agency in Long Beach and to Michael Strahan and to Constance and to all those folks over there. He turned his university and his football over to them because he just went, I've tried. Again, it was a expletive it higher, as it was described to me, and I understand it. And we can argue the pros and cons of making that choice for the reason they made it. So, yeah, legacy-wise, I'll be real curious where that goes because they can't afford, to your point, they can't afford it. Like, they can't afford for him to be bad, and they can't afford to pay him anymore to be good, to stick around. Like, he got probably the best contract he's ever going to have here. But I can't – my boss and I were having this talk yesterday about this, and my old boss and I talked about this a lot, as you would imagine. And that is, I'll pose this question to you. Again, with all scenarios being on the table, including maybe bad ones, this could be a very – Big 12 is pretty fluid other than the NIL-2 at the top, depending on what you think of Utah. It feels like it's kind of BYU and Texas Tech and everybody else. Is Deion Sanders more likely – to walk away because he's never going to be fired. Like, that's not going to happen. It would take some insane stuff and maybe some criminal stuff for that to happen, I would think. Is he more likely to walk away, whether it's this year or next, with a 4-8 or an 8-4?
Yeah. What do you think? Yeah, I could definitely see that. I thought this when,
like,
he was first hired.
Say job done. 8-4 and say job done, yeah. Right? Like, that's his MO. We make it very complicated when, just like, it's about 30, scoring 30 points from these guys. Deion, it's how is my brand? How is my image? Not school. Not I'm here to help young kids. I'm here, whatever. There's some of that. There's, the altruism of Deion Sanders depends on the eye and the ear of the beholder and how much of the Kool-Aid you want to drink. But give him the benefit of the doubt. Regardless, the bottom line is his brand, and this job and the PR coming out of it is his brand. And I would think that if they're 4-8 again, he's going to dare them to fire him.
He'll
then and say, I am not going until this is done, or you fire me, and then you get to put that on your record. You goes back and goes, you get to be the guy who fired Deion Sanders.
Yeah, and this is
you
this
want
is...
to go on to Twitter as the guy where this is, as the guy who fired Deion Sanders.
Right.
I would wish Fernando Lobo all the love in the world because I have walked those shoes and it ain't great.
Well, and this is why, Sean, this is why that term came to me. You know, it's like, I just feel like, yes, there's a season in front of us. We have a lot of games to go to see what this is going to look like. Yeah. And if we're doing picks and all this stuff like predictions, I kind of feel like ceiling is maybe 6 wins, which 6 wins would be fine. I would back off of my they're screwed thing and say, bowl team, that's great. But yeah. I just have a feeling that's the ceiling, and that's if everything goes right in this complicated Big 12. And if it goes south, then yeah, even if you could fire him, do you want to fire him?
Right.
Does he leave? If he leaves, then you got to start over, and it's not going to have the pop. Then we see the story about the ratings today and all that going up and down. And this is
I've written about the ratings. Not Boulder, not current or former Boulder writers, but. Yeah, that's been going south for a while, and it's been going south at a rate lower than they'd say. Well, the ratings for TV on all college sports is going down. Yes, absolutely true, but they're falling at a faster clip, and that's I can tell you that interest among our readership has fallen at a much greater clip than I would have expected. I wrote it, and it's true. The honeymoon is over from a PR standpoint here. And I think nationally people are kind of looking at this, and it goes back to how important this season is. I think people are looking at it like, show me. Like, this is all a great, it's a spectacle. It's all the sizzle, and show me the steak, dude. Like, show me where this is. Now, I think he senses that. I think the hirings and some of his actions have been very reflective of, I did not have a great job review. Even though I got overpaid for various things and have been getting various not contracted funds from the university and from various sources to keep me happy and to keep this thing rolling. But at some point, I think you're right. You would be screwed, back to your term, if you had to try to explain anything that isn't better than maybe 5-7. I think even 4-8 would be a 1-win better, and they could say, well, it's progress, and Juju's young, and we're coming back, and we didn't know what we had in the offensive line, and yada, 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 down the line. But what you're going to see is the TV ratings continue to go down, And what you're going to see is some of those kids who are the admissions from out of state are going to fall. And more importantly, you're going to see your season ticket base continue to dip, which it has been. And they say, well, yeah, it dipped 3,000 because they added 3,000. Yes, you're back to a net zero from 2 years ago. But you're going to just you're not going to reverse that slide. No one is going to pay for a $10 million coach to watch a $10 million coach for the program that goes 4-8. They're just not. And not when the Broncos are where they are and where the winter sports teams still are where they are in this market. Then you're down to kind of Deion Cultus and the hard, loyalist of Buffs who've sat through everything, God bless them, and will put up with a lot. So I think it just becomes a business thing at this point. But to your point about business, I don't think they have $30 million. You know, they just got $35 million. What if they get $30 million in donations? They don't have that. The Ulines just gave Northwestern, the big MAGA donors in Wisconsin, just gave Northwestern like $35 million, wrote them a check last week or a few days ago. There's nobody doing that at CU with that bulk kind of contribution right now, and they would need that kind of bulk contribution to make the Deion era end, and I don't think anybody wants that on any level.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. Sean, while we have you, a few more minutes. Scuffle yesterday, good thing, bad thing. What tell us about it.
Oh, I think I was talking to the producer when he came on. I don't have a problem with the scuffle. I don't have a problem with Bo. You know, it's funny, we're not talking about Bo's ankle. We're talking about Nick Bonito's ankle. How's that for I should have written that in the piece today. I don't have a problem with the fight. It's inevitable at camp. It's inevitable when you also this deep into camp. And then when you don't have a joint practice, I don't think Malcolm Roach hitting Knicks twice is ideal. I don't think anybody hitting Knicks is ideal. I think that has to be controlled and put in check. And then everything else will kind of fall in line. I don't love protected QBs as a former fat nose tackle, as you know. I'm not pretty like you. So I don't love pretty boys getting protected, but this pretty boy is pretty much seasoned in a position where you've got really good depth everywhere else. Or to put it another way, Malcolm Roach is replaceable. Bo Nix is not.
100%. Yes.
That's the thing you have to keep in mind. And I love Malcolm Roach.
Yeah.
That's the thing you got to keep in mind.
And that's where, like, if this happens again, you know, and you get Malcolm Roach.
You have to find somebody.
Right. Bonito and McGlinchey are going at it again. Then I'm starting to go, okay, we got some problems here. Like, if you see bad teams and it's like, hey, we've reported on three different fights going on. Yeah, you think there may be a culture issue there. In this case, I do worry about, the fact that Bo's ankle is a very touchy subject there. Let's be careful. But on any other, if it wasn't for that, then I would think this is probably more of almost a good thing if it's isolated.
And what got reported less is I think Bo went up to Singleton or one of the defensive captains, I believe, yesterday after they were done, or after one, or at least close to when they were done, or right after they were done, and kind of pled his case and kind of tried to cool the water some. And boys are going to be boys, man. You cannot rage at that level of physicality and testosterone and not have somebody want to just beat the living snot out of somebody else, especially if you've been doing it for 3 weeks straight. But I think when you have cooler heads and you get in that locker room and you can talk it out and be a brotherhood, you know, families are going to fight. Brothers are going to go at it. It's what you do when somebody from another jersey comes out after you and how you're going to line up. And so far, we'll find out Friday, but one Friday in, look pretty good.
Yeah.
They can fight all they like.
Yeah.
If they're going to take all that anger out on somebody else on the other side, even if it's in the preseason. And we don't know how good the Falcons really are, but let's just enjoy it while it lasts.
I love it. Sean Keeler, appreciate your time as always, my friend. Great write-up today in the Denver Post, talking a little bit about that fight. You caught up with Sonny Dykes. Man, phenomenal story. I really enjoyed this one.
Thank you. Sonny's a good dude, so it was always great to catch up with him. And they do not play CU this year. So when I got done talking to him, I said, well, I'll tell you what, you're not on the schedule, so we'll see you in the championship game with Deion. And he just laughed. He goes, that sounds like a plan. And I thought, I don't think it's in the plan here, but we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. No, great work by you, Sean. Appreciate it as always, my friend.
All right, thanks, buddy. See ya.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post. He caught up with TCU coach Sonny Dykes because he mentored Broncos offensive coordinator Davis Webb a decade ago. So he connected with him about the Davis Webb stuff, about the fights, all of it. So fascinating read in the Denver Post this morning. 39 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break and get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most. Local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Spencer Smith with DNVR Rockies, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show. Did get some news here. Altitude Sports announced their new Nuggets broadcast team. I've been wondering when this story was going to come out. Obviously, they moved on from Chris Marlowe, play-by-play, and Scott Hastings from doing color. Hastings is still with Altitude Radio. And our guy, Chris Dempsey, they moved on from him as well. Chris still is a part of what we're doing here. We talk to him every Monday, all things Nuggets. They have announced Noah Reed and Katie Wingy, a friend of the show, with new studio analyst and NBA vet Jason Richardson. And I know Jason Richardson. I know of Jason Richardson. He didn't play. Mike, look that up. He didn't play for the Nuggets ever, did he, right? Altitude made the announcement today. Noah Reed joins Altitude as the play-by-play announcer with Katie Wingy as color analyst. Reed spent the past 5 years calling college basketball and football for ESPN. I've probably seen something that he's done. I'm terrible with some of these names with certain broadcasters, but I've probably seen something. NBC Peacock, Fox Sports. Wingy, of course, has been with Altitude since 2018. She becomes the third full-time female analyst for an NBA team's regional network, Altitude said. Jason Richardson played for the Warriors, the Bobcats, the Suns, the Magic, the Sixers. That's a little odd to me that he never played for the Nuggets and he's going to be the color analyst.
Isn't Chad Brown working?
Not color analyst. He will be the second color analyst. So I don't know.
I mean, isn't Chad Brown working for 9 News? But he at least has a Colorado connection.
Yeah, buff. That's fine. That, for some reason, that makes more sense in my brain. That's
you have to have acceptable. You should have a Colorado.
Well, so he's going to be a studio guy, studio analyst, but he will also, on select home games, join Reed and Wingy as a second color analyst. Lauren Gardner returns as a host reporter for select Nuggets broadcast while working other roles for the network. Interesting. Vic Lombardi will return as lead studio host and reporter. He'll be joined in studio on select games by former Nuggets head coach and analyst Bill Hanslick. So your thoughts on that one? We've had Katie Wingy here. Obviously, she played college basketball. She knows the sport well, but she will be the color analyst for the Denver Nuggets. And the bigger one, the kind of strange one is Jason Richardson. You know, he's going to have to brush up. I like hearing from guys that... That's why I liked Hastings and even Bill Hanslick, because they got that history of all things Nuggets, man. They were immersed in it. They lived it. They played it. They coached it. Everything. So, odd one there, but we'll see. Probably was time for a change, and we'll see what this team has in store for us. 47 minutes after the hour, Mike. We're going to take a short break. We'll wrap it up, get to what did we learn on today's edition of The Whole Show. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Rocky Mountain Kickoff is back. Hear the fellas every Friday at 2 and gear up for another big weekend of football. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, what do we learn on this 19th day of August? Well, we learned it for me anyway. I'm kind of over it. I'm over the prime stuff. story after story. Deputy gives him, trying to serve him the papers to subpoena him to court next 2 weeks, and he's nowhere to be found. It's just stories like that that I'm ready to move on from, and it might not be anytime soon. We learned that the Broncos fight. Yeah, don't mess with Bo. Like, don't mess with the ankle there, Malcolm Roach. Don't do it again. But Bo handled it like a pro, and it's okay. All is good. Great conversations with two Bears today. Marcus Mosier, wide receiver, and defensive end Dominic Butts. So I think the Bears are going to be good. I don't know. I think so, though. Mike, what did you learn, if anything?
Well, I learned that UNC's offensive line is massive, monster, which could give them 8 wins instead of 7 wins.
You know, we always say if you have hot, nasty speed, you can win a lot of games. When you have a gigantic offensive line that's good, that might
helps
be the
ticket. Protect the quarterback from getting injured. I also learned that even though you are over Prime, Prime fans are not over you.
No! And they think I'm obsessed with Prime. I think you're obsessed with me, Prime fans. You're obsessed. Stop being obsessed. Stop being weird.
Yeah, Prime fans not to be confused with Amazon Prime fans.
Or Buffs fans. Like, Buffs fans are cool.
Buffs fans seem to be normal.
Buffs fans are cool. They're just like any other fan. They defend their school. They defend their team. They're critical when they need to. But Prime fans are different. They're Tebowites, basically.
Yeah, Prime fans may not necessarily be high, but they are seeing things that aren't there.
Yeah, okay. Tomorrow, Mike, we're going to have Kevin Lytle on the show, talk some Rams, get some more details on this big-time transfer that they got. Signing, recruit, he didn't really transfer. We're going to talk about that with Kevin, get the latest on the quarterback update going on for Colorado State. We're getting close to Border War 2026. CSU in Wyoming, so act accordingly. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.